Last this Tuesday morning at Shirley's, that was the one that was postponed from last week. I do have the material for those that did not get a copy of that last week. If you're not prepared for that class Tuesday, I have it's on the parables, and I've got that outline for you if you'd like to have a copy of it. The mentioning of the visitors that were with us, one is Martine Lester. You may remember her. She worships at Saraland. As you may have seen her there, or she has been here at some gospel meetings, so she may be familiar to you, but good surprise that she was here this morning if you hadn't had a chance to meet her. Starting in Ephesians chapter 2, and I want us to take us back to time prior. God has used our personality trait of memory to his benefit. All of us have the ability to recall certain things. We all remember certain things that have happened in our life. God has used that. If you remember when the flood ended and the waters receded and they came off of the ark, God put the rainbow in the sky as what? As a remembrance. And he told Noah, from now on, when that rainbow is seen, you remember. Thou will never destroy the world with water again. Now, and the interesting question, not part of today's lesson, but when we see those rainbows, do we talk about how pretty the colors are? Do we talk about how big it is and how much it fills the sky? Or do we remember what it's there for? Do we take advantage of that? When the new law was given at Mount Sinai, there were certain feasts that God wanted as a reminder. There was the feast of Passover. To do what? To remind them of how they got out of Egypt. There was the Feast of Tabernacles that was set into place. Why? To remind them that for 40 years, your shoes didn't wear out, and you didn't starve, and you didn't go without water. I provided for you. And so that feast, on a yearly basis, to remind them of that. The Jews came up with another one on their own during the days of Queen Esther. If you remember that event, when the Jews, the decree had already been signed, sealed, and delivered. All the Jews in whatever land they were in were going to be killed. And Esther stopped all that. And then the Feast of Purim was organized and established to remind the Jews of that great deliverance during the times of that queen. Within the last 10 minutes, we partook of the Lord's Supper. Another thing that was instituted for us to remember what God's Son did, what he will one day do when he returns and the judgment that comes with that. All this stuff, God has used our personality trait of remembrance to his benefit and to our benefit, to aid us to recall certain things. I want us to look today at that ability to recall and that ability to remember certain things about ourselves, about our character, some things you and I need to make sure we don't forget. My grandmother died of Alzheimer's. Many of you have had to deal with that very sickness in your own family. And you see that progression of where they can't remember what day it is, and then they can't remember their name. And finally, with my own grandmother, they had to take the mirrors out of the home. She didn't know who she would see herself and think a stranger was in the home. Didn't even know who she was. Mirrors had to be removed. There comes a day when we may forget some things. As much as we remember, there was just something this past weekend Carl was asking me about. I don't remember now, but I didn't remember it. We remember some things. We forget some things. What I want us to look at this morning are some things that while we are not suffering from some type of physical dementia, as long as we are in control of our abilities, there are things we need to remember. It will help us stay faithful. It will help us be on this earth what we're supposed to be. And one of them is, we need to remember our past. Look back to Ephesians chapter 2, that's where we are. And before we even begin, I want to emphasize what I mean by that. I don't mean we wallow around in the muck and the mire, and we think about all this evil stuff, and we think, well, I just can't be any better than that. That's what I am. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being aware of our nature, our character. A physical example. An alcoholic who begins going to those AAA meetings. A recovering alcoholic does not go to a bar and sit around and drink coffee. Why not? It's because they remember their past. They remember their weakness. If an alcoholic, a recovering alcoholic, puts himself in that position long enough, he will go back to it. We know that. We all know that. Now the point is, I don't know your weaknesses, you don't know my weaknesses, but we all know our past. We know our own weaknesses. And there are things we need to know about ourselves and never forget about ourselves, because there are places and positions we don't need to put ourselves in. If we know what our weaknesses are, if we remember where we have fallen, why would we go back to that same thing again? It's foolishness. Remember what we are. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Paul writes about that. Verse 11, remember. That's what we're looking at today. Call to remember. That you being in the past, Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the uncircumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time, he says, remember what you used to be. At that time when you were Gentiles in the flesh, you were without Christ, you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, you were strangers from the covenants of promise, you had no hope, and you were without God in the world. I better never forget that. I am told in verse 11, remember what you used to be. I've got to remember what I used to be. Well, what was that? Verse 12. He didn't pull any punches. What I was, verse 12, I was Christless. That's what being without Christ means. I was nationless. That's what being an alien means. I wasn't part of the nation of God. I wasn't a part of His kingdom. I wasn't a part. I was a stranger from the covenant of promise. That means I'm promiseless. Having no hope means hopeless. We all get that one. Being without God in the world means I was godless. That's what I was. So let me just throw the most sincere question out there and ask us, if that's what we were, that's what I was and that's what you was, why would we go back to that? If we truly can remember being godless, being Christless, knowing there's a promise of heaven out there, but that promise isn't for me, I'm promiseless. Knowing that there is hope of eternal life, but that hope isn't for me. I'm hopeless. Knowing that there is a Son of God who gave His blood for me, but it didn't do me any good. Because I haven't taken on His name. I haven't obeyed. I'm Christless. I'm going to go back to that. If we remember what we used to be, why would we ever go back to that helpless, hopeless, godless state? The better I remember what I used to be, the better I can stay faithful today. Now, turn to Revelation 2. The very truth of the matter is, maybe we're too late for that. Maybe there's someone listening right now that says, well, you should have said that 6 months ago because I've gone back. Okay. Well, you're still here though. You haven't died. So here's where you pick up your memory. In Revelation chapter 2, talking to the church at Ephesus, verse 4, he says, I have something against you. You've left your first love. He says, you don't love me anymore. Verse 5, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works. Okay, point number one, Ephesians chapter 2. If I remember what I used to be, it should keep me from falling back into that mess. If I can remember what I was, why would I go back? So that's the first goal. But if we have already dropped the ball on that, if we've already gone back into a godless existence, we've already gone back to a Christless state, we've already gone back to where our honest assessment is, if I died today, I'm not ready. Those promises and that hope don't apply to me. If that's where you are, verse 5, remember what you used to be. Remember when you were aware of the name of Christ and you were doing everything within your power to be faithful to Him. Remember when you were obedient to the God of heaven. Ephesians 2, don't go back to what you were. Remember it. But if you have gone back, Revelation chapter 2, remember when you were faithful. Remember that covenant you made. Remember the love and the appreciation and the thankfulness you had when you woke up and realized somebody died for me. Remember that. Go back to that. Look at 2 Peter 1. What we're talking about today is genuine and it is real. Not just talking in hypotheticals. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we know this Christian grace, as we somewhat call them. We find out how we are to constantly be building and maturing and growing. Verse 5, with all diligence add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. If these things be in you and abound, they will make you that show you will never be unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the goal. That's what we've been told to do. But you know it and I know it. Not everybody does that. Verse 9, he tells us the reason. He that lacks these things is blind, can't see far off, and has forgotten he was purged from his old sins. Somebody has forgotten. Somebody didn't remember their past. And so Peter is writing of Christians. And he says, now here's how you're supposed to grow. Here are the steps you take. Here is the maturity process. And then probably with just a heavy heart, he says, but not everybody's going to mature. Not everybody's going to grow. Not everybody is going to take the next step. Because some are going to get weeded down in worldly things and they're going to forget what they used to be. They're going to forget about that hopeless state. They're going to forget about a godless state. They're going to forget about promiseless state. And they're going to forget that they were cleansed. And so they start piling on the new sin. Point number one, I've got to remember what I was so that I cannot go back to it. If I have gone back to it, I've got to remember when I was faithful and obedient and trusting and loving. And then I've got to go back to it. And if I'm going to grow like I ought to, I've got to remember what Christ's blood did for me. I can never lose sight of the fact that I've been forgiven. That I can't earn it. That I can't bust through heaven. It's going to have to be because of grace and mercy and forgiveness. I can't forget that. And as long as we live, until Alzheimer's just wins the battle with our brain, you can't forget it either. We've got to remember these things. We won't look in Romans 10. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 3. We'll come back to Romans 10. We've got to remember those who taught us. It will help us. There's some applications to be made from that. Romans chapter 10 is a memory verse, so I'll mention that in passing as we turn to 1 Thessalonians 3. Romans 10:14 is the one that says we have to call on the name of the Lord. And then we find out in verse 14, you can't call on whom you hadn't believed. You can't believe in whom you hadn't heard about. And you can't hear unless somebody tells you. Everybody in this room who is a Christian got told by somebody what they were and what they needed to do. Somebody, hopefully in a kind way, let you know you were hopeless. Somebody, hopefully in a kind way, let you know you were godless, Christless, promiseless, all those things that we're not supposed to forget, remember. The things we've got to keep hold on and remember about ourselves and about our nature. Somebody taught me that. Somebody cared enough to show me that. And everybody in here who's been forgiven, somebody taught you to. Somebody loved you enough. May have been family, may have been a friend, makes no difference. The application is you were taught. Hence, we need to be doing the same thing. First of all, let's just get the point down. To remember those who taught. Look in 1 Thessalonians 3. As word came back, Paul had left Timothy in Thessalonica. In verse 6, Timothy has returned. They have kind of reacquainted with himself. And he's brought messages. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. When Timothy came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, and we also to see you. Paul had been told by Timothy. They had left the message. When Timothy left, returning to Paul, the Thessalonians let him know. You let Paul know we miss him. Let him know we appreciate him. Let him know we thank him. The gospel had not been taken to Thessalonica until Paul showed up. He went to a godless, hopeless, Christless, nationless, promiseless people. And he let them see what they were and how to correct it. And they didn't forget it. Now, make sure we understand. I'm not talking about it. This is not an example of the elevation of men. Paul would have never accepted that. This is not elevating man. It's just being thankful somebody cared enough about you. Look at Revelation 3. It's not elevating men, it's appreciation. And now, just to emphasize the fact that we're talking about something real here. In Revelation 3, to those letters to the churches, in verse 1 of chapter 3, we find out that in God's eyes, Sardis is a dead church. Now, there's another one he called lukewarm. He calls them dead. How could a church that once had a candlestick, how could they be dead? Verse 3 tells us that. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard and hold fast to it. What was the problem that led to them being dead? They forgot what they had been taught. We're not making this stuff up. It's a real problem. Romans chapter 10, you can't do what you need to do until you're taught. Revelation chapter 3, they forgot what they were taught. The conclusion was, God says there's no life in you. There's no candlestick among you. There's no breath and blood and there's no living. Application time for us. For my own, right? Of course, I'm the one talking right now, so I get to do it. You'll have to fill your own blanks in on that. But I've tried to take my own advice this week. And I've tried to think about, with some appreciation, the ones who have done things for me. And I made a list. I'm not going to go through the list. The names would mean nothing to you. But I think about all the Bible class teachers who took time and effort, gave up a lot of things they could have been doing, gave up a lot of time that they could have been watching TV, taking care of hobbies. They put in time, then they taught a class, and I benefited because of that. I'm not elevating men. I'm just appreciative, and I'm thankful. And now think about how many Bible class teachers you've had do that. Some of you don't have enough fingers, toes, forks, toothpicks. There's not enough articles in your house to count all the ones who have taken time to teach and that you benefited from. And think about all the home studies that I've been through. Some were led by preachers. Some were led by men who just took advantage of the chance. I'm appreciative of that. I don't want to forget that. I think about the preachers. Some that I guess we might call regular preachers, those full-time that in the various places that I've lived. Others who maybe came for a week. Others that may have came for a day. Others that I drove to hear and maybe only met one time. And if they walked in the room, I might not even remember what they looked like. I've still got the notes, still got their name written down. Don't know that I would know the faces. But I'm appreciative of that. And I'm better because of that. And I'm mentioning this from a personal standpoint. Now you let your mind do some remembrances. You call to remember the ones who have benefited you. We think about those who just taught by their example. Taught by their actions. Taught by their life. Taught by the character. Taught by their humility. Think about those who taught however and in whichever way they could. Now, while we're calling to remember all these things, here's the application for us. While our mind is flooded right now, hopefully, with some appreciation and some thankfulness, could anybody say the same thing about you? Could anybody say the same thing about me? The application is, when we look back with appreciation and love, and when we amen what the Thessalonians said about Paul, have we lived a life that others could say the same thing about us? And when you run back through that list again, you don't have to be a Bible class teacher. You may be. You don't have to be a preacher, but you may be. You don't have to have taught a home study, but you may have. You may have been one of those that do it by example, but are you doing it? The ones who have influenced you with their humility, have you taken on that characteristic to influence others? The ones who influenced you by their example, have you taken on that example so that 10 years from now, people can think of you in the same way you're thinking about people right now? There's the application. Remember those who taught us. Appreciate it. Be thankful for it. And then you be busy doing the same thing for others. The things that you are appreciating and have appreciated, others will too. Take advantage of it. Do the things we can do. We're very close to that. Not just those that taught us, but what about those who encouraged us? Look in 2 Thessalonians. Oh, I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians, right back where we were. The interesting thing, I don't know if I had really seen this before. If I did, I forgot. I'm not going to say I didn't know it, but it didn't register with me as it should. I want to see the give and take about this appreciation. We looked in 1 Thessalonians 3, where the Thessalonians sent word, we appreciate you. We're thankful. We haven't forgotten what you did for us. Look what Paul told them before he ever got to that. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers,
remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. It was a give and take, all right. The Thessalonians tell Timothy, make sure you tell Paul what we think about him. And before Paul can even get to the meat of this letter, he lets them know how much he thinks about them, how much he appreciates their example and their encouragement and their life of faith. Verse 3, I remember it without ceasing. They hadn't forgotten him. He hasn't forgotten them. He is writing here to a congregation, a complete group of saints. Turn to 2 Timothy 1. Here Paul says very much some of the same words, but now he's talking about an individual. Second Timothy 1, verse 3, Paul writing to Timothy, he says, I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of you in my prayers, night and day. Verse 5, when I call to remember the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that it's in you also. Paul writes to Thessalonians, I haven't forgotten you. I appreciate your example. I appreciate your faith. Appreciate your life. He writes to Timothy, I appreciate you. I love you. I'm thankful for you. You're an encouragement to me. Your grandmother and your mother, they're encouragements to me. They are examples to me. Now let your mind wander again. Are there not churches that you appreciate and that has aided you and that you're thankful for, thankful that you have a relationship with them? Are there not individuals that just changed the names in verse 3 and 5? Instead of Paul writing to Timothy, it's me writing to somebody else. It's you writing to somebody else. Instead of talking about Lois and Eunice, we're talking about two other women who were pieces of gold. We know these people. We know people like this. Don't forget them. In Deuteronomy 32, another group is brought out that God took time to make sure wasn't forgotten. If you remember what Deuteronomy is about, it's a repeating of the law, I guess is the best way to say it. They're about to cross over the river. Moses is about to die. And that in that last month of his life, Deuteronomy was written about a 30-day span. In that last month of Moses' life, he came to the people and he talked. And then he came back again at a later date in that last month. And he talked some more. He just reminded them. He retold them the law. Here's one of the things he wanted to make sure they didn't forget. When he's gone, when he's dead, when he's not with them, verse 7. 32 verse 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, he'll show you. Ask the elders, they'll tell you. Moses is about to die, and some of his last words is, he says, take advantage of the experience among you. Take advantage of those older generations, the one who've been through the fire, the ones who's been through the wars, the ones who's been through the battles, and they're scarred from head to toe, but they're still fighting the fight. They're still engaged with the smartest enemy this world's ever seen. Moses says, don't forget them. Learn from them. Ask them. Use them. Don't forget them. Those who've encouraged us. You thought of this, thoughts of some this week that I have maybe not thought of in years. When you go home, you can do the same thing. And then we'll make the application just a moment, just as before. I thought about it. I was a teenager. You know my story. All of you, there's no strangers here today. I was not raised up in the church as some of you were. I wasn't taught like some of you were from an early age. When I became a Christian at 18, I'd probably been a Christian. I was probably 19 by the time this took place. I'd been a Christian 5 or 6 years or so. And then five or six months. But as things happened, I was asked to lead a prayer one night. My first public prayer. To the women in here, that may mean nothing. To every man in here, you know how much I was sweating. And you know how long I looked at my name staring on that bulletin board. And then that night came. And as everything got quiet, another teenager right beside me just reached over and patted me on the back. Nobody else saw that. Everybody else had their head down. Everybody else had their eyes closed. Nobody saw that. I'm going to take a good guess. His name was Craig Knight, by the way. I doubt he even remembers that. I doubt that happened and he just went on and I hadn't forgotten it. I'd have to get a calculator. I'm so bad at math to figure out how many years ago that was. I hadn't forgot what my friend Craig did that night. You know, you don't have to teach. You don't have to get up behind this pulpit. Sometimes a pat on the back is what we need. And there ain't a person in this room that can't do it. Remember those that's encouraged us. You may have gotten a pat on your back at the very time you needed it. I was 25 when my first grandparent died. Don't think I wasn't thankful to live so long before death started slapping me in the face. Very grateful. I was 25 before anyone, I had been to funerals, and I'm not saying that death hadn't happened, but there's deaths, and then there's deaths, and we all know the difference. I was 25 when my first close relative died. And I remember that week, the man I'm talking about now was named Lester Hibbett. And that week happened, and all of a sudden he's at our home, and he's at the funeral home, and he's at the gravesite, and he's there standing beside me, and then all of a sudden his wife is bringing food over. And I finally, for the first time, I guess, realized what it meant to suffer with those that were suffering. It wasn't his grandmother. I don't even really know how well he knew my grandmother. I don't know what kind of relationship they even had. They would have met, but I remember that. I got a good feeling Brother Hibbett didn't remember that at all. You see, he's probably been to 1,000 funerals of people he wasn't close to, but he went to them for people that he did know. He was there for me and my family, not because it was a personal relationship with my grandmother. Can I not learn from that? Have you not learned from that? Have you had not people that did the same thing to you and for your family? When I was in college, I had a friend. Again, I wasn't raised, so I wasn't very good at all this, at singing. I just sang the lead. Then me and my friend, a friend came over. I wasn't even married at the time, living by myself. His name is Daryl Smelser, preaches in South Georgia. Came over and he taught me how to go up and down, I guess is the best way to say it. It wasn't like what we do now, where we've learned all the solfege and all the different things. But at least when he left that night, I knew when I was supposed to go up. I may have went up too high or may have come down too much, but at least I had an idea of what I was supposed to be doing. And the memory I have of that is not just what he taught, it's that what we did. Two guys, I was probably by that time, early 20s maybe. He would have been a little older, but same time frame. He and I, alone in that little house I had, singing all night long. Just going from one song to the next, two voices of good buddies, and we're just singing. I don't know if Daryl remembers that or not, but I'm telling you that story probably 20-something years later. I remember. And now I'll stop my reminiscing, but I hope I've lit a fire that will make you start pulling things out of your mind. People who encouraged you, people that helped you, people that gave you the slap that you needed, people that gave you the rebuke maybe that you needed. The point is, those memories that I just described to you, they were things done in the flesh, but they had a spiritual reason behind them. Yeah, slap on the back, that's a fleshly thing, but that's not why he did it. When people think of you, and they think of me, and all they think about is all the fun we had at the river bottom. Oh, do you remember when we went fishing? Oh, do you remember when we was at the ball game, and so-and-so hit the home run? If all people ever think about me is just physical, fleshly things, then I'm not doing a very good job. I'm not putting memories out there that lead to any benefit at all. When people think about you, and I'm not saying earthly things doesn't happen, and that's a part of our life, and we enjoy that. But we have got to be busy doing things to encourage people in a spiritual nature. Now, am I doing that? Are you doing that? Because here's the same application as before. I mentioned my buddy that patted me on the back when I needed a pat on the back. I know how much that encouraged me. Doesn't the responsibility now fall to me to start looking for some opportunities to pat people on the back? I talked about my friend who came and suffered with us when he had 1,000 other things he could have been doing that had been a whole lot funner. Do I not now have the responsibility to suffer with people and to try to be an encouragement to them when things are not exactly like they want them to be. And now the application goes to you. Well, whoever you are thinking about in this last 5 minutes, whatever encouragement people in the past have given you, understand that now the responsibility is yours. Now you've got to be busy so that when people think of you, they can think about things that can encourage them in spiritual realms. That's why we can't forget. Go back to Deuteronomy 4. Actually, we're still there. Just turn back a few pages. We've got to remember our fear of God. And the scary part is, this might be the one that we can forget the most. Remember that fear of God that we had when we first believed. Now, for some of you, going back a long, long time, some of you might not be able to count the years that that takes you back to, but try. Go back to when you first believed, and all of a sudden, it wasn't just somebody talking anymore. It wasn't just somebody reading some verses anymore. It wasn't just the same old anymore. Remember when your eyes finally opened up and you realized, He's talking to me. I'm the sinner. I'm the unforgiven. I'm the one that's not ready for judgment. I'm the one who's fixing to bust hell wide slap open if I don't do something about it. Do you remember that fear? Because if you can remember that fear, don't ever forget it. We're going to go back to the mountain, Mount Sinai, that day Moses came down. Moses is reminding them of that day. In verse 10, he says, "Remember especially the day that you stood before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, 'Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, and that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live on the earth, that they may teach their children.'" Now, we're not going to keep reading, but do you remember what happened that day? Now, Deuteronomy, in verse 14, Moses is reminding them of the day that the Lord got them together at the mountain, and the day the law came down. He says, "I'm going to make them fear me. I'm going to teach them how to fear me." Do you remember what he did that day? The earth shook. Not some symbolic and literal way. The earth shook. An earthquake basically happened. Their feet, the ground under their feet started to move. And then this cloud rolled in, and all of a sudden you can't see the mountain anymore. Covered the mountain. And from within that cloud, a big thunderstorm took place. And you got lightning popping here, and you've got the big flash of yellow over there. And then animals and things that were that touched the mountain, they began to die. Anything that was touching the mountain died that day. We're not going to turn. I don't know. I didn't put it on there. But when you get home, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 21, the Hebrew writer talks about that day. And it says even Moses was scared. Now that ought to tell us something. Moses had just spent 40 days in the presence of God. Moses had just spent 40 days up in the mountain with God. But when he came down that night, and when God began to do those things, even Moses was afraid. And now if we can take our mind back to the day we first believed, the day we first recognized, it's about me. I'm the one who's got to act. Hopefully we won't ever fall away. Matthew chapter 10. I've got some of the wisdom up there. Psalm 111, Psalm 112 talks about the need for wisdom, the need for fear, the need for learning to fear and constantly fearing. Jesus follows up with that, Matthew 10, verse 28. "Fear not them that can kill the body but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." That's a hard thing to really take to heart. Because here's the truth of the matter. Somebody sticks a loaded gun between your eyes, all they can do is kill the body. But every one of us in here is going to have some fear of that. That's going to be a bad memory when a gun's pointed to your face. Because we do fear those that can kill the body. Let's not deny that. Let's not try to be some arrogant and, "Oh, I don't fear death." We don't fear death because we know there's life afterward. When somebody puts a gun in your face or a knife to your throat, yeah, there's some sweat going to pop up. The danger is, do we fear that more than we fear God who can kill the soul? That's the fear we've got to always have before us. That's the fear we can't forget. And when I think about myself, when you think about that night, you finally realize this is about me. I can tell you about the night I was baptized. I won't, but I had forgot it. I remember what I felt. I remember how urgent it was. And I think there's probably people in this room that can remember that. And so why is it that a year later, we're back to a hopeless, Christless, godless state? Why don't we go back to that? Why is it that later on in our life, our sin can be before us and we know very well that we're not living properly and our attitude is, I'll take care of it later. Now, I know what sin is. I'm going to deal with my sin, but not tonight. Not today. We've lost our fear of God. We've got to make sure we ever keep before us the fear that we had when we first believed. And then we live our life under that cover of fear. It'll help facing temptation a whole lot easier. It'll help us make choices every day. Well, time's gone away. I want to show you a couple more. Could be another sermon, another time. Some other things that we will be better off if we never forget. Let's not forget that we've got to be growing. There's a new man we've got to put on. There are things about our former life that's got to be put away, and there are new things that's got to be put on. Don't forget, growth has to happen. Don't forget that there's more involved to pleasing God than just hearing. We've got to hear it. Amen to that. But then we've got to do it. And sometimes that's the part we forget. Make sure we don't forget that. What about our fear of falling? There's a reason we were told to take heed lest ye fall. And when we look back in our life and we look at David, we look at Peter, we look at great men of faith, great women of faith, who just didn't do what they needed to do every day. And we see huge falls. And then we look in our own life. In the last month, I've seen that. In the last month, you've seen it or so. Just last Saturday, 8 days ago, Carl and I get a phone call about 8 o'clock. And then about every hour and a half or so, we got another phone call. And every phone call was a little bit worse. A little bit more information came out. A little more details came out. And by the end of that night, the phone call was one of our brothers had done a horrendous thing and was in jail. Now, he has repented of that. He's confessed to that. Probably still going to be in prison. That was a shock. And that was a kick. And that was last week. Now, Terry mentioned in the announcements, we all know people, friends or family, that at one point in our life we would have said that. But never fall. Love God. Faithful. They'll die before they'd fall away. It's not the way it is it? We know better. And the better I can understand and keep my fear of falling, the more humble I will stay. The less pride will kick in. We'd better keep a good eye on ourselves, because we know people who have fallen. What in the world would make me think I can't? What in the world would make us so arrogant to think that you can't? Keep a fear of falling. Remember that life is short, and remember judgment's coming. Well, again, that bottom list there, that's a whole other sermon by itself one day. But these are the things I've got to remember. The better I remember each and every one of them, the better I'm prepared today to face temptation, and the better I'm prepared to be the example I'm supposed to be. Get your songbook out. I want to read two verses out of Hebrews. We've been talking today about remembering. I want to read two verses. They're basically in the same opening. This is what God has promised us. You remember when we were hopeless, godless? Remember when we were spotted, blemished, unwhole? In Hebrews 8, verse 12, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities. I will remember no more. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. The point is, if we remember what we're supposed to remember while we're here, God will forget things that we shouldn't have done.
He won't remember those iniquities. He won't remember those unrighteous acts. But there's conditions upon that. You want God to forget those acts, then they've got to be gone from you. They've got to be removed from your book. The only way to do that is to come to Him on His terms. You've got to believe His Son came, lived, and died. You've got to believe He arose and that He's coming back again. You've got to confess His name. You've got to repent of those sins that you committed. And then you've got to be buried, baptized, and those sins are washed away. And then God will remember them no more. That's the promise. We remember what we're supposed to, and He'll forget the things we would rather never have happened. If anybody needs to respond, please do it now.